boys ready for this? Howdy, folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Word to your mother. And welcome in to another episode of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanksgiving edition, baby. We need a counter of how many times I am going to press this button.
There's five, over under of 34.
There you go. It's the one time of the year I get to press it on a regular occasion. Welcome in to another episode. It is episode 104. It is the evening of November 26, 2025. I am your hostess with the mostest, Chris Mitchum, still the proud manager of Team Fair Life, with the usual gang, Tim Rader, the manager of Close But No Jamar.
How we doing?
And Aaron, the manager of the Sun God Squad.
What's going on, everyone? Quick question for both of you. Where would you rank Thanksgiving when it comes to the holidays?
It's not as good as Christmas.
It's not as good. It's up there because it's the time of year before Christmas.
It's not as good as 4th of July. I don't know if that's a hot take or not.
Oh, that might be. I have Thanksgiving solidly second to Christmas.
4th of July, you get like fun cookouts and like swimming and pool and fun stuff.
I hate the 4th of July just because of all the fireworks that go off all night. Okay. I'm a 4th of July Scrooge.
Okay, so like before 10 p.m., 4th of July, 9 p.m., 4th of July. When you get to watch the fireworks and stuff, you know.
That's honestly a pretty good argument. I could see that.
And you're not like obligated to be with your family? Like you're kind of like like you can't hang out with your bros on Thanksgiving, you know.
Now we all are married or engaged. We missed the layup of saying Valentine's Day, but hey. You know.
Yeah. That pairs as Alyssa's birthday for me. So, that's a big day on Chris's calendar every year. Valentine's Day. Goodness. Well, for this episode for you this week, week 12 review, week 13 preview. Of course, we got the drink of the week. We are doing a fun Thanksgiving themed segment for you guys. We took each member of the league and we compared them to a Thanksgiving food. Some explanations will probably be better than others, but we're going to do it. We're going to dive in there and we're going to give it a shot. And then, of course, we're taking another shot at this league guarantee. We're not even going to talk about last week before we get into the week 13 preview. And sign off. Drink of the week, gentlemen. It's a Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving. That means you can drink alcohol. What are we drinking?
Well, on this fine blackout Wednesday, I am drinking this container that is the color black of water.
Okay. And Tim, what about you?
I don't have nothing nearby.
Just riding this raw, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
That's just straight pain and tears.
Yeah. I wish I could tell you there was like vodka in here or something. But once again, on that Simply orange juice.
It's getting on that OJ grind.
Yeah. Build your immune system. Drink some OJ. It's delicious.
That was a ginormous gulp there.
I love you some orange juice, man. All right. Well, let's get into this first segment. We'll see how we're going to do. We listed off each member of this league, and we compared them to some Thanksgiving foods. We all have our favorite Thanksgiving foods and our least favorite Thanksgiving foods, but let's go ahead and burn through these. Aaron, we'll start with you, and we'll start with Close But No Jamar. And Tim, what Thanksgiving food is his squad?
Yeah, so I went with fried turkey for Tim, and I say fried turkey very specifically because when you think about fried turkey, it is undisputed best way to eat turkey day of, in undisputed. My opinion.
Okay.
If it's done correctly, it is juicy. You get the just well-cooked skin and you get the tender meat and all of it just works really well day
that
of.
That sounds great.
But then it dries out very quickly the following days afterwards. And I feel like Close But No Jamar kind of has had a season where it started off real good and then eight straight losses, all of a sudden not so good.
I thought you were going to use the whole like preparing the fried turkey and how it causes just like hundreds of house fires every year. Just people's houses going up in smoke. I thought this was, you're going to say close to what Jamar was. He is a fried turkey house fire.
His season has accurate. Unfortunately turned into that.
Accurate. I know.
All right. Don and Enjigmas in Paris is up next. Tim, you took this one. What food is he like?
So we are going to go with the Thanksgiving. Is it a classic? Does it belong?
Oh, mac and cheese. Nice.
Mac and cheese. Does it belong on Thanksgiving? Like, maybe not traditionally, but when it's there, you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to walk past the mac and cheese, mm-hmm. but you might just be like, oh, this isn't a traditional Thanksgiving side dish.
What's this doing here?
What's it doing here? But yeah, looks good.
I think it belongs because mac and cheese is delicious. Get out of this traditional crap. If it's delicious, put it on my plate. I don't care. All right, I'll jump in here. I have Mr. Kyle Stretch and Walker. I hardly know her. Kyle Stretch is a pumpkin pie. And what I mean by that is when is the only time you ever eat pumpkin pie besides Thanksgiving? The correct answer is never. You never have pumpkin pie outside of Thanksgiving. It's around November. It's around playoff time. It's a staple. Nobody really loves pumpkin pie, but nobody really like hates it either. It's like you like it. It's Thanksgiving. You eat it. It's always there, and that's how Stretch is come playoff time. He's always going to be there, and sometimes pumpkin pies just steal the show at Thanksgiving, and you can't have dessert without pumpkin pie, and that's Stretch. This time of the year, unfortunately, Stretch is the belle of the ball with the pumpkin pie when it comes to Thanksgiving. We'll move on to Clayton next. Tim, you got this one. Who are you thinking?
Okay, for Clayton, we're going to rock with the green bean casserole. Mm,
yeah.
Everybody, this is a Thanksgiving classic, a staple. Everybody's looking forward to smashing some green bean casserole. Everybody likes the green bean casserole. Every now and again, you might get a real stringy green bean, mm-hmm. real dried out, or maybe a little chunky on the gravy in there.
Yeah.
Like a nice, 70-point week. But you're excited. Every year, you're looking forward to that green bean casserole.
It's a crowd pleaser, too. Everybody likes green bean casseroles.
Oh, yeah.
I like that a lot. Let's move on to Anthony and Team Uninspired Youth. I'll take this one. As well, I put Anthony as some nice mashed potatoes. And what I mean by that is the mashed potatoes is one of the only dishes at Thanksgiving you can just pair with other things. You have mashed potatoes on your fork? Yeah, I'll scoop some corn on there because it tastes good. I want some turkey and some mashed potatoes on my fork at the same time? Of course, mashed potatoes and anything, that gravy, green bean casserole, anything you want. You just add some mashed potatoes on there. It's a fantastic compliment. It's a staple. It's always around, and everybody loves it. And that's just Anthony. Maybe not even as a fantasy football team, but just as a player, as a guy. He's just always around. Everybody likes to be around Anthony. He's a compliment mm-hmm. to every conversation, every group, and he's just a wonderful person to be on your Thanksgiving plate. That's Anthony and Team Uninspired Youth. He happens to have a really good team, which is what mashed potatoes are. It's tough to mess up mashed potatoes,
It's a good call.
All right, let's move on to Steven here. Aaron, I'm throwing it over to you. What's Steven's Thanksgiving food comparison?
Yeah, so with Steven, we're going to go with the hearty corn casserole. And the reason I say that is typically with corn casserole, it's going to be on the plate, but you typically are diving into that before you get all of your other food on the plate, and so you're going to get a lot of corn casserole. And then once you get eaten into that corn casserole, it's like, man, this is so good. But there's so many other options. And now I'm in too deep. And it's almost too much of a good thing sometimes. And I think with Steven, he strikes when the iron's hot with some of his big names, flashy. You really like eating it up. But then if you trust it too much, it's too much of a good thing. So corn casserole for me.
That's actually a good call because he's always there. He's pretty good, but he's never like the top guy you're picking to win. I like that a lot. Let's move on to Mr. Let's shoot over to Aaron here. Aaron, you're up. We'll go with you. Tim, for Aaron's, who you got?
Well, I was trying to come up with something nice to say how I'm looking forward to what this could be in the future. But then, unfortunately, the more I thought about this year and what we're working with, I'm going to go with the green Jell-O from Christmas Vacation with the cat food speckles on top. Because we just ain't touching it this year. You know, it was brought to the party in good efforts, you know, a very valiant effort this year. But sorry, we ain't touching it. Yeah, we ain't touching it.
We don't want the Sun God Squad this year. I'm good.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it either.
That's nasty. But next year.
Next year, for sure.
That's awesome. All right, Aaron, we're going to bring it back to you here. Three more to go. Let's go ahead and get the captain, the leader of this league this year. Hayden, what is his Thanksgiving food comparison?
This one was the easiest one for me. You got to go with dinner rolls Hayden.
Everybody loves a good dinner roll, baby.
Everybody loves it, and there's really not a bad time to eat dinner rolls either. Mm. You could eat it at the start. You could go back for seconds and get a dinner roll. No one's going to think twice. You could go back even after everybody's put food up, get another dinner roll,
that's right.
Warm it up, get some nice butter on there. It's going to taste exactly the same, and you just know what you're going to get every time you dive into that. Doesn't go bad very easily unless you really mess up, and I just think the consistency of a dinner roll, that's been Hayden's team this year.
That is. Goes with everything. Delicious. Tough to mess up a dinner roll. I love it. Well, I will jump in here. We're going Zach and Brees Lightning, Mr. Dynamo here the last couple weeks. Do you guys know how collard greens are made?
I don't think so, actually.
So you got to soak the greens, and then you got to saute them. You add like some chicken broth and some vinegar and stuff, and you make them all delicious and stuff. It stinks. Whenever you soak the greens, they stink, man. Whenever you go to saute them, they smell because they're fresh greens, right? So they've got sulfur, and they're just so stinky at the beginning. But if you take your time, if you wait it out, and you add the right amount of spices, and the broth's right, and you get the consistency right, maybe you add a little bit of like pork bacon in there to really get that taste in there. If you take your time and you watch greens, Lord have mercy, they're the best thing on your plate. But it takes patience. You can't make greens in like 20 minutes. It's impossible. And that was Zach's team this year. At the beginning, he was ranky. It was so stanky. And then here comes the pork belly, a.k.a. Rashi Rice. And then you're letting it soak and simmer like a Teteroa McMillan wide receiver one, Marvin Harrison Jr. coming back. Like, it's starting to get that consistency that's really delicious. Unfortunately, you might miss the train with the Thanksgiving plate because you took too long. But Zach is collard greens. They are delightful. We'll move on to the final one. It is your boy, unfortunately. Aaron, close us out here.
Yeah, and quick side note on collard greens. I've heard more about collard greens in rap songs than I've actually seen collard greens in real life.
There might be a reason for that, Aaron.
I'm just saying. So thank you for the lesson there.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, I'm going to go with cranberry sauce for Chris.
The reason
you got to follow with me on this one. So at every Thanksgiving gathering, you have that one family member that just tries to make cranberry sauce be something. Like, they just bring it. They're like, listen, I tried to make this good. And you got a few people in the party that are like, heck yeah, this is actually good stuff. But the majority of people are like, I don't know if I'm feeling this. And I just feel like cranberry sauce describes Chris because you just don't exactly know what you're going to get. You're going to get something that maybe it will actually complement your Thanksgiving plate pretty well. Or it's just kind of there and it's like, I don't even know what I'm eating right now. So I think cranberry sauce fits Chris's bill, especially this season.
That's wonderful. What a great time. What a great job, guys. I think all of those fit. Well done. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Let us know your thoughts on those and if we got any of those right. And we will go ahead and jump in to the Week 12 review. Some fascinating results from week 12, to say the least. Obviously, lots and lots of action in those bubble positions for the playoffs. And I will quickly run through the scores here for you. First up, maybe probably the game of the week. Hayden continues his dominance with a 164-150 win over Zach and Breece Lightning, sending him to 10-2. He's trying to keep a hold on that one seed. Mount Passmore downs Walker, I hardly know her, and stretch 138-128 in the battle for Qdoba. That might go a long way in determining a bye. Team Uninspired Youth scrapes by the Red Rocket 117-78. Your boy, goodness gracious, I don't know how this happened.
Yeah, say it. Yeah, say it.
The Sun God Squad.
Yeah.
The third highest scorer on the week. Downs Team Fairlife. I can't even be mad because it's not like I was competitive. 139-72, ladies and gentlemen.
I never doubted you, Dylan Sampson. I never doubted you.
Yeah. And then, you know what? I'll say this last result, and I'll just go straight into my takeaway. I'll go ahead and cue the music here. I'm sorry, Tim. Don and Ojigbos in Paris puts the nail in the coffin. And he downs close for Nojimar, 132-102, sending Tim to his seventh straight L. That's hard to do, Tim. That's impressive.
So much fun.
That's hard to do. We said it before last week. It was a win-or-go-home game for Tim. And whenever we get into the playoff previews upcoming here, you will see that virtually eliminates him from playoff contention. Unfortunately, and honestly, I'll just jump right into it. That's my biggest takeaway. Tim and Close Bino Jamar is probably the most confusing team I have ever seen in my life. I said it last week how your team just doesn't make sense because you're not supposed to have a team with Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Saquon Barkley. I just missed somebody. Oh, Jalen Hurts, obviously Tyreek Hill, but he's on IR. Anyway, Sam Laporta, Chris Godwin, Aaron, like, you got names, man. But somehow you have the second lowest scoring team behind Clayton of all people, and you have the fifth highest points against. That's not a very good combination, and I just don't really know where it went wrong. Aaron, I mean, if you want to pop in here real quick for Tim as we send him off into the distance, into the sunset on a sailboat until the 2026 season comes about, what do you think went wrong for Tim here?
Well, I think he's been battling injuries off and on for most of this year. You, going into the season, were hoping that Chris Godwin could return back to the absolute stud that he was prior to the most recent injury. Saquon needed to be, you know, a top five running back for the formula for his team as well, and he looked like an absolute superstar last year, just hasn't been the same this year. And the Tyreek Hill injury, I think that had some ripple effects as well. I think he was really banking on him being at the very least a flex option for him all season. And then just, I mean, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, they just haven't had some of those ceiling games you would expect from them. So I just think it's been a case of underperformance from names that you would otherwise say should be performing.
Tim, quickly, any last words as you sail off into the sunset?
It's been a slow burn. I mean, right when I was 4-1, that was my first crash out moment, putting everybody on the trade block, because I thought I saw this coming. Out. You know, I didn't have great vibes for this year all season long. So, you know, I go back to the drawing board. And see what we can come up with for next year.
There you go. All right, Aaron, we'll throw it over to you. What was your biggest takeaway from week 12?
Well, as I'm reviewing just all of the results, I can't help but notice that the second highest scorer on the week loses to the first highest scorer.
Zachary!
Zach losing to Hayden.
Man.
And what could have been for Zach? if he wins that game, he could be sitting here at 5-7 and right in the thick of the playoff race. And because of getting that eighth loss, that pretty much seals his fate. And I really like where his team is at. I mean, 150 points is no joke. I mean, he just happened to be playing the best team in the league, and the best team in the league only beat him by
the before that 142 right. the week before that, 124 the week before that. He's been solid.
I mean, he is the Bengals of last year, where they're hitting their stride, but it's just too little, too late. And I would have loved to see him sneak into that sixth seed, because I think he could have made some noise. So that's mine. What could have been for Zach? I think he's got a lot to look forward to, though. I mean, he's got a squad that is going to be competing for a long time.
Yeah, we were sweating that win or go home game all for the last couple weeks. Not going to lie, with Zach. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, once we get to the playoff picture here, he's got a shot, believe it or not, and he needs a lot to go right. But Tim, your week 12 review before we move on to the playoff picture.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway and biggest shocker, I'll say this is probably the first game I feel like somebody played a true spoiler, and that would be the Civil War Sabotage. Aaron, like, You guys have put up points here and there. It's happened. It's not like it's out of nowhere. But, man, Caleb Williams with 27. Dylan Sampson off the...
When I saw that screen pass, I just laughed so hard to myself.
touchdown.
Oh, my God. Yeah, baby.
Like, Amon-Ra getting him 30. Colson Loveland looking like a dog, 15. And then Chris.
I don't want to talk about it.
Josh Allen, DeAndre Swift,
nasty,
J-Mo Williams,
a big old goose egg.
That's a rough, it's rough.
Yeah.
72 points.
I think Josh Allen took the week off on Thursday, so the rest of my team was like, well.
You're currently, we're going to get into seeding and everything, so we'll talk how that's all looking here in just a minute. But in a game that you might have thought you could pencil in a dub, just poor timing to have a letdown.
Yeah. Well, we've got 2 weeks left, 10 games to go in the regular season of this league, and the entire league is sitting somewhere between, like, pretty much clinched or have no chance, and there's a lot of in the middle. So let's break this down here, and we'll get the easy part out of the way. Three teams have officially clinched a playoff spot. Gibbs Mehead at 10-2, Team Uninspired Youth at 9-3, and believe it or not, Mount Passmore, considering the people that he's playing, the other losses that are probably going to happen, he is in the playoffs. Of course, he is still going to be competing with Walker, I hardly know her, for that 2-seed top of Qdoba after a huge win last week. But congratulations to you guys. You guys can unclinch because you're in. And on the opposite end, we've got the Sun God Squad and Close But No Jamar. Well, actually, I take that back. Sun God Squad is officially eliminated at 3-9, and Close But No Jamar, while mathematically in it, has the playoff odds.
You can say time of death. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. You have the playoff odds of
my bad.
A snowball and a microwave. All right. So everybody else, right? So here's where the drama lives. We've got five teams battling for the final three playoff spots: the Red Rocket, Team Fairlife, Walker I Hardly Know Her, and Jigbas in Paris, and Brees Lightning. And every single one of these teams has a path, some more realistic than others, some pretty delusional. But hey, a path's a path. And I'm going to go through each of these briefly and let you know what their status is. First, we're going to start with your boy. And I did use ChatGPT to help me out with some of this stuff. So they ran all of the projections and the scenarios and all that jazz. So that's where I'm getting my numbers. So you can't argue with me because ChatGPT is always right. So we're going to start with Team Fairlife. They call Team Fairlife the chaos agent because if I win out and I hit 7-7, I'm in 100% of the time. I control my own destiny. Now, interestingly, if I split and finish 6-8, the overlords gave Team Fairlife about a 58% chance of making the playoffs, believe it or not, because of just my really good points for total. But if I lose both, obviously, I'm out. See you later. The Red Rocket,
He gets to 8-6. You're in. Congratulations. If he goes 7-7, according to chat, he has an 86% chance of making the playoffs if he wins one of his final two. But if you lose out and fall to 6-8, you're out. See you later. So I think if you're the Red Rocket, you're trying to win one, and you are probably in. Now, two teams that are in very similar positions, Walker, I Hardly Know Her, and Stretch, and Enjigmas in Paris, and Don. Both starting at 6-6, both have pretty solid points fours. And here's the thing. Each team just needs to get to 7 wins. If either one finishes 8-6, they're in. If either one finishes 7-7, they're in. But if they lose out and they each drop to 6-8, the Overlords give Walker and Hardly Know Her a 63% chance of making it, while Dawn and Enjigmas in Paris gets a 25% chance of winning if he drops to 6-8. So if Enjigmas in Paris loses both, the Overlords absolutely hates his team. And then, of course, you have Mr. Brees Lightning. The path is brutal, but it's out there, believe it or not.
I got to hear this.
Our sim says he's got about a 6% chance to sneak in overall. And literally every path starts the same way. He has to beat Enjigmas in Paris this week. And he has to beat Walkers or Hardly Know Her next week. And Dawn has to lose to Mount Passmore this week. And that gets Brees Lightning to 6-8 and Enjigmas in Paris to 6-8. From there, it's a coin flip chaos. In those worlds where he wins out and Dawn collapses, Zach makes the playoffs about half the time, depending on however many other teams stumble to 6-8 and whether his points four holds up. So realistically, Zach wins out, prays Dawn collapses, and then lights a candle for the points four gods is how Zach gets in.
Wow.
So.
And Tim has, did it give any scenario for Tim?
Like I said, playoff odds of a snowball in a microwave. That's what you're working on for Tim there.
Yeah, I would need a couple of like Jamar Chase and CeeDee Lamb 60-point games and everybody else to stumble down to 6-8. And yep. Yeah.
Yep. So I think my biggest takeaway there was I think because Team Fairlife has such a good points for, I'm kind of the chaos agent here. Like if I continue to win or if I finish a 7-7, I'm probably the bubble's worst nightmare because I'm probably going to get in. But I thought it was interesting that even if I do fall to 6-8 and finish that way, I still have about a 58% shot of making it just because of the points four. But I do consider this week against Clayton to be a must win for Team Fairlife. I'm not going to lie to you. But out of all that, guys, I knew I threw a lot of information at you. Any big takeaways you took away?
I just think the Brees Lightning scenario was super interesting because I almost just wrote him off because of being 4-8. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he does have a slight path, if things go his way, that'll be interesting.
He needs Don to face plant and then basically try to score more than Stretch or Clayton, really.
Because the Stretch haters, that's who I'm looking at here because I didn't hear too many scenarios with a negative Stretch. He's already got his 6 wins. Like, what's his fall out of the playoffs? Do you have anything like that?
Yeah. So according to the Overlords, even if Stretch finishes at 6-8, he still gets into the playoffs about 63% of the time.
That's what it feels like.
Yep.
The haters are sick. They want to see him. They don't want to see him get a 4th out of 6-year net.
The haters are nasty. Yeah, I know. And obviously, we have a game of the week later this week that could very well decide the top of the Chipotle division that we will be sure to get into. But that was your current playoff scenario, ladies and gentlemen. It is literally anybody's game. And there is a decent chance that you have one, an absolute chaos scenario is you potentially have 2 6-8 teams in the playoffs. That's a possibility if you really want to go down that path. So welcome to this league, 2025, where everybody is so freaking similar. It's kind of annoying. What do you say we try and go make some money, gentlemen?
Let's go.
We got it this time, I swear.
Let's try.
The This League Guarantee. Oh, yeah.
I had a fever dream that we missed all of our This League guarantees from last week, but like I said, it was just a dream. We're not even going to talk about it because this week we are returning the fan favorite, the Turkey Day Guarantee, baby. Get your DraftKings or your sports book of choice app out. Sit down on Thanksgiving
and act like you're paying attention to your grandma while she's talking to you, and follow these This League Guarantee bets, baby. We did all Thanksgiving games, and we're going to jump right in. Aaron, you start us out.
I'm going to the Sunday night.
Hello.
The Thursday night game between the Baltimore Ravens and Cincinnati Bengals. We're going with Ja'Marr Chase, 100-plus receiving yards. Reasoning for that is if you look at the game log history of Ja'Marr Chase against the Ravens, it is criminal how good he is.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also is potentially getting back Joe Burrow. That's looking pretty...
How about it, Tim? Huh?
Nice there. I imagine Tim would rather him just not play.
Bengals playoff scenario is very similar to my playoff scenario. Snowball's chance in a microwave.
Nice.
So, but it's whatever. I get it. I get, you know, he loves the game. He doesn't want to sit out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever.
Rah, rah, rah.
But either way, Joe loves throwing to Ja'Marr Chase when the times get tough. So I look for Ja'Marr to have a pretty big game.
Tim, are you leaning that game's going to be like really fun and high scoring, or like an AFC North game where it's going to end 10-9?
I think it's going to be pretty high scoring.
Nice.
Even though the Ravens defense has kind of turned it around lately, we typically, Burrow and Chase just have their number in terms of being able to score and move the ball. I don't anticipate, I mean, even with Burrow coming back, right? Like, this will be his third start of the year. Like, I don't anticipate he's going to be, you know, mid-season clutch performance Joe Burrow. Like, I don't know that we see a real Joe Burrow the rest of this year.
Oh, God.
You know, these might just be reps the rest of the year, just getting stats going forward like that. So I don't know that I feel like it's going to be a I think the Ravens are an easy lock to win. It's just I'm hoping that we get a little bit of fun. No T. Higgins, it's looking like. So Ja'Marr Chase, Ja'Marr Chase, Ja'Marr Chase.
Let's hope for some fun football. I'll jump in here. I'm going to take, is this the noon game? Is this the first game? No, this is the afternoon game.
4:30.
Cowboys, Chiefs. All right. I am taking Javonte Williams under 66.5 rushing yards in that game. Gentlemen, if you take James Cook's 114-yard performance in Week 10 against the Chiefs away, where he did have to get there on 27 carries, the Chiefs have not allowed a rusher over 65 yards the whole season. And when you talk about they have faced people like Jonathan Taylor, Jahmyr Gibbs, Ashton Jeanty, R.J. Harvey when he had the full workload, and Derrick Henry, that is mighty impressive. And I know Javonte Williams has looked pretty solid this year, but I think I just named six running backs I'd rather have over him. And you're playing this Chiefs defense, who is still, I would say, in must-win mode. I still think they need to keep stringing some W's together if they want to make the playoffs. And I think they're going to come out and perform against this Dallas running game in particular. So Javonte Williams under 66.5 rushing yards. I am going to smash that. Tim, the last leg of the This League Guarantee.
And this is the first game.
Nice. Look at that.
And we're going to rock what just feels like the easiest layup of all layups, because this man is on fire, on magma lava fire. Jahmyr Gibbs, anytime touchdown. Minus 190, add it to the guarantee, juice it up a little bit. The man, I mean, just watch him play. Just sit down and
pretty,
watch Jahmyr Gibbs play tomorrow, and you're just going to be smiling.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. All right, Tim, you take those three. What do those odds get us?
We're looking at a plus 543.
$10 you know, to win you about $64. Is that right math? Is that the right math? That doesn't feel right. I'm not the accountant.
That's about right.
All right.
Yeah, you got to take out you're netting 54. Your $10 wins you 64. You net plus
there
five,
it is.
54. Yeah.
There it is. Gosh, you guys
math.
Are so smart. I know.
Odds.
All right. I feel good about this one. Am I tripping, or did we hit the Turkey Day guarantee last year? I feel like we might have.
I don't actually remember.
But I might be true.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I do like how we have one in each game. So, like, Tim, all the pressure's on you in the first game. We need a Jahmyr Gibbs touchdown.
Easy.
And then it, like, falls to me, and then Aaron brings us home at night.
For the guarantee. It's going to come down to me. Dang it.
We'll see. All right. One more time for the folks back at home. Javonte Williams, under 66.5 rushing yards. Jamar Chase, plus 100 receiving yards. And Jahmyr Gibbs, anytime touchdown, plus 543. Have yourself a Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen. Put a nice amount of cash on that. Sit back and enjoy the ride. Let's get into the Week 13 preview. We are welcoming back the Denver Broncos, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Miami Dolphins, and the Washington Commanders. And Aaron, guess what? We are saying goodbye to absolutely nobody this week. 0 teams on bye in week 13, which you would think that means bye weeks are over. Psych, I think there's like 4 teams on bye next week, which is
crazy. Crazy what they're doing to us.
So dumb. But we mentioned it earlier in the playoffs. You look at some of these week 13 games. I mean, I'm seeing 1, 2, 3 that are just huge games for the future of some of these squads. So we will go ahead and dive in here to the first matchup. It is Aaron and the Sun God squad coming into this one at 3-9, already eliminated, but he is in a spoiler mood, taking on Stretch and Walker, I hardly know her, at 6-6. We heard it earlier. Stretch, even if he loses out, has a pretty good shot of making the playoffs. But I'm sure he doesn't want to test it. He's playing the worst record in the league. I'm sure he wants to take advantage. Sleeper currently giving Stretch a 64% chance of victory. And Tim, you looking up and down these lineups, what's something that's sticking out to you?
Yeah, and we're talking spoiler. That's the key word here for
spoiler.
Aaron. And so therefore, all eyes are going to be on Amon-Ra St. Brown. He is the key cog that drives the wheel that is the Sun God squad. And whenever you're looking up and down Aaron's lineup, he's about the only one you want to pay attention to. Thursday, like we said, that's the first game. How much damage can he do? Like we said, the Stretch haters are sick. They're hoping that, you know, he finds his way into an L this week and puts up a under 100-point game. And we're rooting for the Sun God squad to capitalize and play that spoiler. I think that's the key here is going to be, what can Amon-Ra St. Brown do for you?
Yeah, I think as he goes, you can argue the Sun God squad goes for sure. When I take a look at this, I am checking out 3 potential returns from injuries that could swing this matchup. One is not even in this ball game, and I'll start there. Marvin Harrison Jr. has been returned to limited practice this week. There's some optimism that he could suit up and play this Sunday. I say that because Stretch has been in the Michael Wilson voodoo potion lab. This man has 18 targets, 15 targets his last 2 games, and Stretch is saying, get plugged in. I'm staying in the flames. And I think he is hoping that he can continue to capitalize on that, even if Marvin Harrison Jr. returns. That would be a really interesting thing to see. I'm also looking at the return of Josh Jacobs. I think we saw last week that Stretch took the L. He had to rely on Alvin Kamara, who got him a nice 4 points. That is certainly something that Josh Jacobs can probably improve upon. He does have a tough run defense going into Detroit on Thursday, interestingly, in the same game as Amon-Ra St. Brown, so that'll be interesting to watch. But this just feels like the kind of game Josh Jacobs falls into the end zone twice. I just can't explain it.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Shows up.
Yeah, I think that will help propel Stretch. And then last but not least, I think Aaron knows where I'm going with this because we may or may not have him in another league. But he's been chilling on Aaron's IR for what, 5 weeks, 6 weeks now?
A long time.
Returning to practice this week. Look out for rookie sensation Omarion Hampton potentially returning for the Chargers this week. He looks a whole lot better. Well, I mean, I don't know if you sit superstar Dylan Sampson this week. I mean, that might be a
tough
call. I
don't know if I can. He is an animal.
Superstar Dylan Sampson. But yeah, I think obviously if he comes back, he slides right back into your lineup. And all of a sudden, Aaron's looking a little
Aaron's looking a little frisky. You know, I think Dylan Sampson is his only like super duper obvious hole. Isaiah Pacheco, you don't love, but I do think he is still the starting running back going into a pretty favorable matchup. So like if you insert Omarion Hampton in there, there's not a ton of holes in Aaron's lineup. You have some inconsistency in there, but you look at every player and you're like, you know, I could see him putting up 20 plus. So I think if he returns, this game gets really interesting. And I really want to pick Aaron, but I'm going to let you guys pick first because I'm going to see why you pick the way you do. Aaron, go ahead and give us your thoughts on this really, really quickly. And then who do you got winning this one?
Oh, don't fall for the rose-colored glasses looking at the optimism of my team. Stretch is going to win this game. He gets Josh Jacobs back. Drake May's playing on Monday night against the hopeless Giants. And you've got some other plus matchups as well. Devontae Adams, he's basically the goal line back there in LA. So I don't think Stretch has anything to worry about. I think his voodoo will probably shine, and I'll probably score 80.
All right, so he's going with Stretch. Tim, who you got?
You know, this is just a vibes pick, but Aaron did spoiler last week. I think he's got some spoiler in him this year.
I want Aaron to win so bad.
I'm going to pick him. Devonta Smith did not practice. They've got the Friday game. So then, you know, maybe you're going down to the Cortland Sutton or something else on Stretch's bench. But Kenneth Walker's banged up. I don't know. Josh Jacobs, it's a true, like I said, feels like a game he's gonna just fall in. But the Lions run defense is, I think, it is top in the league.
Wow.
And so it's not an easy matchup. And the Packers have been kind of volatile, right? They start the year hot, kind of get injured, banged up. They don't know what they're doing. They haven't been great, been okay. So I don't know.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna take Aaron here. You know, you're only averaging 4 points less than him out per week. Like, it's not that crazy, you know, that this is, like, coming to this. So, if you look at Devonta Smith's injury report, it sounds like our freaking Thanksgiving song at the end of this thing. Like, shoulders, chest, illness. Just put skinny chest, in there.
You name it.
Shoulder, chest, illness, skinny. Just
lack of muscle.
Questionable, yeah. All right, well, that's two for Aaron, one for Stretch. Call us crazy. But Aaron, we're rooting for you, big dog. Get the job done.
I appreciate you guys.
Let's play spoiler. Let's move on to the next matchup. It is Steven in Mount Passmore coming to this one at 7-5, taking on Tim in Close But No Jamar. I'm sorry, Tim. You still got to play the games. I'm sorry. You still got to.
We're going to play spoiler too. We're just going to throw some wrenches into this thing.
That's right. As of right now, Sleeper giving Steven a 57% chance of victory. Aaron, I'll throw it over to you for this one first. What is something you're looking out for here?
Well, I am looking to see how Steven's core squad members go against some pretty difficult matchups. You got Jonathan Taylor going up against the Houston Texans defense.
Maybe the toughest matchup like in football right now. They made Josh Allen look so bad.
Pretty difficult. Don't love that. Ashton Jeanty against the Chargers. You know, they've been susceptible a little bit against the run, but you're on the road and that offensive line has been absolutely horrible.
Cheeks.
You hate the George Kittle at Cleveland matchup. That just sounds like a nightmare waiting to happen for the 49ers. I don't know if they'll score over 10 points against that defense.
George Kittle has been a baller since Brock Purdy came back, though.
No, he has.
Ballin'.
He has. He definitely has, but the Cleveland Browns are a different animal, and Myles Garrett is only 5 sacks away from the record. So they are going to be hungry.
I have Myles Garrett in an IDP league. He puts up like 30 points a week. He's insane.
Yeah, he
I
is.
Think he's going to get the record. I hope he does.
I hope he does too.
He is unbelievable. And then in the flex spots, you got Chase Brown going up against a Baltimore Ravens defense that has been better in recent weeks. Definitely not super good, you know, at the start of the year, and they were 1-5 at one point, but they're getting better. And then Khalil Shakir on the road against Pittsburgh, which, you know, some weeks they show up, some weeks they don't. But we saw what happened when the Colts went on the road. Pittsburgh was absolutely dominant. So that's what I'm going to be looking at for, is mostly on Stevens' side, because I favor him in this matchup. But these matchups that he has for some of his players are pretty tough.
Yeah, and I just kind of go back to what I said about Tim's team earlier. I'll say it once, I'll say it again. CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Saquon's currently on the bench, but I imagine you throw him in there. Jalen Hurts. I mean, even Woody Marks is like a solid starting running back for a solid offense. So I think, you know, you have to put some respect on his name when you see him in lineups now. So I just don't understand how his team's so bad. But I do think this game ultimately comes down to, I'm going to boil it down to Jacoby Myers and Khalil Shakir against Christian Watson and Juwan Jennings. That's maybe the most disgusting sentence I've ever said. But when you take into it, like, those are like the four guys that like maybe aren't necessarily a part of your strongest lineup, but those are your depth pieces. Those are your waiver wire ads that you're, you know, trying to piece together a team at this time of the year. You just need wins here, and you're just trying to play the people that are to score you the most points, because that's fantasy football. Just freaking Play-Doh over here. So I think it comes down to that, really. And that's really disgusting. But I think I lean Khalil Shakir and Jacoby Myers, just because I think they have higher floors than both Christian Watson and Juwan Jennings. And I think Steven can lean on the rest of the quality of his, the rest of his roster, to put up the points necessary to down Tim. So I am going to pick Mount Passmore here to move to 8-5.
Yeah, I'm going to also pick Mount Passmore and Steven to get the win. I think even with the tough matchups like I talked about, it's still going to be enough to overcome some of Tim's weaker spots in his starting lineup. So give me Steven.
We're going for some pick'ems makeup grounds. So we're going to ride solo.
All right.
And we're going to say Christian Watson catches 2 touchdowns Thursday against Detroit.
Wow. 2 tutties, huh?
2 of them.
Nice. Is Jaden Reed coming back this week? Just
nothing
curious.
I'm aware of.
I'm not saying he's going to score 2 touchdowns. Christian Watson is. But just something to look out for if you're out there listening. All right. We went over the playoff scenario, and this isn't quite the truth, but it feels like it. It feels like it, and I'm going to press the button.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next win or go home of the year. Oh, God dang. It's your boy. The third highest scorer in the league, Chris, at 5-7. Taking on the lowest scorer in the league, Clayton and the Red Rocket at 6-6.
Wow.
God, I need this.
Clayton, score 160.
Sleeper currently giving Team Fairlife a 55% chance of victory going into this one. Tim, I'll start with you. What are you looking out for in this matchup?
I mean, the one thing you can't not look out for in this matchup, the return of one Bucky Irving. I'm making
noise. Oh, yeah.
Getting a plus matchup in his return.
I scared.
Looks like you got to pencil him in for probably 20, 25 points. There's a chance that maybe they like ease him back in, but Baker's banged up. They're going to be leaning on the run game this week. And Arizona is a team that you can do that and still get an easy dub. That's my number one thing I'm looking at. Number two, I'm calling out your team captain in the Indianapolis Colts.
All right.
Michael Pittman's got to help you out. He's got to put up easy, you know, double digits is a minimum. And I'm going to challenge him to get you to 14, 15 points at a minimum. To help keep your team average score up against, I mean, the Texans defense has been dealing lately. Damn. So it is not an easy matchup. But you're going to need to see some double digit points, not a, you know, 2-for-17 stat line.
Yeah, I agree. Aaron, what are you looking out for here?
Yeah, so I'm going to say for this matchup, I'm, got a lot of eyes on DeAndre Swift, and I got eyes on Brian Thomas, mostly because
I hope he plays so he sucks.
Well, that's yeah, because
not afraid of him at all.
That's not
because he's been hurt, and so if he comes back, I think just his presence in the lineup, you know, we know he's capable of having a ceiling. We haven't really seen it this year, but just having that volatile piece that could get Clayton a more of a boom week, I think that would do wonders for him. Joe Burrow is back as well as Bucky Irving, and he's given him full confidence. He's putting Joe Burrow right in there.
Joe Burrow. Oh, man.
And he's just rolling with him.
That makes me nervous. I don't know.
I am not going to have a fun Thanksgiving evening. I can feel it.
I mean, but, you know, do you either start him? Baker Mayfield's questionable. So you'd have to make your shot on Jordan Love or Joe Burrow. So which one you playing?
I just go back to, like Burrow's first two games this year. Like, we're a slow-starting Bengals team, so there's that. But, you know, he was quarterback 28 and then got injured in the second game. Like, just didn't really look sharp yet. And then he's been sitting on the sideline since then. I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I question whether or not we're going to look good at all this week. So playing Burrow for Clayton in a, you know, maybe not a must-win game, but he's also right there where it feels like must-win's not too far off here. So that would make me nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, definitely a popular name at the very least to be putting back into his lineup. So a couple of pieces on both sides that I'm looking at. And man, I really hope for you, Chris, that Jameson Williams,
that he
could show up in any capacity, because you just can't afford another goose egg in your lineup from him.
He played 97% of snaps last week.
He had a couple of big ones called back on penalty. So it wasn't as bad as a goose could look on paper. But yeah, you got to get some stats this week.
Need some points. And I feel like I just need a 30 burger from Josh, man. He's due. Red light, green
light. He's got to carry you as well.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shop's open if you need any help.
Let's go, Joshua. All right. Who you guys picking here?
You go first, Tim.
I'm going Chris. I think you're pretty safe. Those average points, you know, on any given week, 131 to 112.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just like, Burrow doesn't have the full confidence. Bucky, you know, feels like he's going to get blasted right back into here. But I like the DeAndre Swift call out. Last week, he dipped below 50% of snaps. But it was a tough matchup, and then this week should be a plus matchup to run against. So look for a bounce back game.
I'm going to take Clayton.
All right.
Yeah, I think I got Clayton in this one. I just don't love some of the guys that you're rolling out this week. With Swift against Philly, that's a really tough matchup. Michael Pittman will maybe have some issues if he's going up against Derek Stingley, getting shadowed by him.
Sauce J-Mo. Gardner, please, Sauce, please shadow Nico Collins. Sauce, please, just take him out of the game.
J-Mo, I hate to say it, but like, you know, he could have another dud game. And then Kyren Williams has kind of been trending not so great, and Dallas Goedert as well. You just need Josh Allen to really show up and James Cook to carry you. Because otherwise, I like what Clayton has cooking.
I need a hero. All right. I am picking myself. Go Team Fairlife. We got this. Stay alive, baby. Let's do this. All right. Let's go on to the next game. This one on paper looks disgusting, but when you think about the ramifications long term, this is a big one, ladies and gentlemen. It is Zach. Maybe the hottest team in the league, one of the hottest teams in the league. And Breece Lightning coming into this one at 4-8, the best darn tootin' 4-8 team you'll ever see. Taking on Don and Njigba's in Paris at 6-6. Don just eked out a win last week. Well, it didn't eke out. It was pretty good 132 win last week. But he was certainly trending down, but He hopes that last week, you know, was the hockey stick to trend back up. Sleeper currently giving Zach and Breece Lightning a 56% chance of victory. And whenever I see this matchup, all eyes for me are on running back Devin Neal with the New Orleans Saints. He was limited on Wednesday, but the belief is that he will be ready to go because Alvin Kamara is out. You're in Miami. That is a plus matchup for running backs. And Devin Neal gives Don something he has not had in that running back position all year. Who has his running backs been all year? Tony Pollard, J.K. Dobbins. The two just safest, boring guys you could possibly have at your running back spots. You get somebody like Devin Neal. When Alvin Kamara went out last week, Devin Neal played 86% of the snaps the rest of the way, had seven targets through the air. That is just a dynamic piece that Don has yet to have in his lineup. And when you pair that with the wide receiver two in football, George Pickens, God, I want to hurt myself, and the wide receiver one in football, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And of course, you have Chris Olave, wide receiver eight, Alec Pierce, who was a fantastic dart throw in any one of matchup you want to take. I like Don in this matchup a lot, but we also look at Zach, and he is the hottest team. Tet turning into a bona fide wide receiver one. Travion Henderson was able to fight back Ramondre Stevenson last week. It looks like that is his gig. And of course, Wandale Robinson, sneakily the wide receiver 11 in football, gentlemen, wow, had an incredible game last week. This game's going to be fun. Like, I can see this game being pretty high scoring. It's going to be fun to watch, I think. When you come to the lineup decisions, you know, you got Marvin Harrison potentially coming back for Zach, but I don't even know if he gets into his lineup, honestly, especially first week back. Do you bench Breece Hall? Do you bench Wandale for Marvin Harrison? Like, I don't know if he gets in his lineup. So that would be a really interesting decision if that is the case. Tim, what are you looking out for here?
Yeah, it'd be hard to not throw Marv in there, just with how hot Jacoby Brissett's been. Tampa Bay is a team that you can obviously score and get points against. But like you said, looking up and down the lineup, do you have the nards to bench Javonte? Might be the question.
Ooh, that would be some gonads. Ooh,
Kansas City, we talked about it. We're taking the under and the guarantee. That would be the one for me. And on the other side, for gonads, Don,
man.
For Don, like, the reason I can't pick him this week and I'm not going to is, you know, the quarterback spot, Brock Purdy at Cleveland. Ugh. Like, Myles Garrett's going to get another 3 or 4 sacks.
All right, say it with me, guys. Say it with me, guys. Ready? Cam Ward. Do it.
He's in a, you know, must win category. You know, he needs the win loss column bad. So we're seeing red. You know, Tony Pollard, Jacksonville's rush defense is in the top tier of the league. You know, you said Minnesota, like, Jason looks unstoppable against everybody, but Minnesota's the top passing defense. He's got something to overcome this weekend. I don't know. Like, even like when you talk about, like, oh, what about your flex guys, your dart play, like Alec Pierce against Houston, the tough defense. Like, I don't see it getting done. I like Zach's guys and their better matchups this week.
Yeah, honestly, you sold me on the matchups. I think that could swing it. If they were all in perfect matchups, I think this would be a lot of fun. But
yeah,
some of Don's guys might struggle to reach their peaks this week. So I think I'm going to go with Zach as well.
Yeah, I'm going to take Zach and get a clean sweep here. Even with George Pickens and JSN, as much as I love them, they just can't carry Don entirely. So give me Zach.
I hate George Pickens. Okay, let's move on to the next matchup. It is the final matchup, which makes that our game of the week. And gentlemen, you could argue this could be the game of the year, man. Fighting for that number one seed, fighting for Chipotle supremacy. It is the number one seed currently. Hayden and Gibbs Mehead coming into this one at 10-2, taking on Anthony, Team Uninspired Youth, currently in that number three seed position, but the number two on the standings chart. He's coming into this one at 9-3. Sleeper currently giving Hayden a 64% chance of victory. What a game. Got some studs up and down the lineup. Aaron, what's something you're looking out for this game?
I'm just looking at Hayden's projected point total.
Same. That's exactly what I was going to say.
And
my goodness.
That's crazy. But that's what I'm looking out for is can he actually achieve that? And honestly, looking up and down the lineup, I think there is a path. I mean, I really do. Travis Etienne, he's been coming on lately. Jalen Waddle, ever since Tyreek's been out of the lineup. Puka Nacua, we know what he is. Jahmyr Gibbs is from another planet. Derrick Henry against Cincy. Mahomes against Dallas. Yeah, I mean, you got plus matchups up and down this lineup. The projection for Mahomes is 27 points, which is wild.
It is crazy.
But
that game,
I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, can Hayden just repeat what he did last week? He put up 164. He might have to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he can. For me, what I'm looking at is just how far the four horsemen fall. You know, we talked about it last couple of weeks. Justin Jefferson, just a sad, pathetic wide receiver. 13 season.
Might be the saddest story in fantasy sports this year. Nine is hurting him.
But
death to nine.
In that same vein, he might have a new quarterback this week.
He might.
Nine is in the concussion protocol.
Do we know his starting quarterback's name?
Max Brosmer.
Yep.
Who is that?
He's the backup.
Where is he from?
Ooh.
Hey Siri. Who is Max Brosmer?
Maybe like Syracuse or something.
I'm going to guess like Ole Miss.
Or Wake Forest.
Vanderbilt.
Liberty. That's what I'm going to guess.
Western Kentucky.
Minnesota Golden Gophers and the New Hampshire Wildcats.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Don't say that. Of course, the New Hampshire Wildcats. Yeah.
No. I vaguely know him from Minnesota, not New Hampshire.
Oh, of course. Is he a rookie?
It can't get much worse than J.J. McCarthy is all I'm saying.
Is he a rookie? I genuinely, this is my first time hearing his name. Like, I don't know.
Yes, I believe so. Yep.
Hey, you know what? I feel like... why do I always forget the Vikings head coach's name?
O'Connell.
Oh, yeah. He's turned poop into gold before. I just think nine might be too much poop.
Yeah.
For him to do it.
So Justin Jefferson X factor for me. He needs a 20 to 30 point game to be able to keep pace with the dogs going up on the other side for Hayden. I don't see how Hayden doesn't just run away with this.
There's a lot of dogs for sure. What's the saying? Is it the turkeys have come to roost? The chickens have come to roost? Somebody help me out there. Have you heard of it?
I got nothing.
I needed some context on that.
I don't know. I was just going to say on Anthony's lineup, I think a lot of the guys that he was relying on throughout the season, the chickens are coming to roost. That's probably wrong. But he was relying on Ramondre Stevenson at the beginning of the year. Looks like his job is lost. Rashad White was getting him through some weeks. Bucky's back. Keenan Allen's old.
Mm-hmm.
Chuba Hubbard has lost his job. Like, I feel like he's really starting to lose a lot of options to the point now where he's having to pivot to Kenny Gainwell, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, you might have a hole in Anthony's roster moving forward, which could potentially limit him against some of these really good teams. With that being said, I do think this game is going to be closer than some people think, but to your point, I don't think the projections lie. I think Hayden's going to have a lot of horsepower this week. I think he puts two hands on that number one seed and the first round bye after this week.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yep. I also agree. I think Hayden runs away with this, and he is the clear-cut number one.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. A clean sweep for Hayden, we expect, this week. And he may – yeah, he would clinch a first round bye with a win this week. So – lots to play for in that matchup. Lots to play for a lot of folks in beautiful, wonderful week 13. Let's go ahead and get out of here, gentlemen. As always, share us with your friends. Leave us a nice, constructive comment if you're going to say something mean. Give us a good rating. And as always, just what's the best way to make a turkey? I don't know.
I don't know that there is one.
Fried, baby.
Fry that like button.
Fry baby. That turkey.
I'd smother in gravy. That's all that matters at the end of the day.
Just smother the like button in gravy. I like that a lot.
That's all you got?
Yeah. It's Thanksgiving, dude.
Well, or you can just click it.
Or you could. Just click it. What's the Thanksgiving dish you guys are most looking forward to?
Man, that's such a tough call.
It might be green bean casserole. That's sounding pretty nice right now.
Yeah.
I really like cornbread casserole. My mom has a homemade recipe. It always slaps.
Nice. I've told you guys earlier, call me 12 years old. I'm a mac and cheese guy. Two kinds of mac and cheese. Throw it on my plate. I'm a happy man. Just like I will be a happy man once I down the fraud Clayton after this week. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Deucin. Love you.
Happy Thanksgiving. Peace.
Go on and get. Gobble me, bobble me, swallow me. Gobble me, bobble me, swallow me. Had to throw it in.
Tim, you ruined. I'm just kidding. All right.
Sorry, had a hiccup.